We are back. So too is College Golf Talk. Burko and Brentley with you. A day delayed. You know, sometimes we do Wednesday night, sometimes Thursday. This is bright and early Friday morning. We needed to get back to home base and sort of digest everything we saw in the women's regionals. We know those ladies headed to Omni La Costa for the NCAA championships. The men's regionals get going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just around the corner. So it's a chance now to go over the women's regionals, see how well we did on our back and forth battles. And I mean, let's not bury the lead. You did the tally when we were talking after I dropped the kids at school. We could have saved our time. No blood between the two of us.
Dead even. But Burko, talking about not getting this rolling until Friday morning, they might make us enter the transfer portal along with the 500 and so other athletes that did a couple of days ago. It's out of control.
Well, you wrote a great article on a team that got through that was not likely to get through, and they find out, the coach finds out on the way, everyone's leaving.
How about that? Boarding the private jet. Oh, yeah, coach, by the way, someone's going to give us money somewhere else. And the thing is no one knows either right now. No one knows what's going to happen because with the revenue share, I mean, your golf programs, I guess, theoretically, aren't going to be able to give as much as they're doing now. So what I don't understand it. The portal, the idea in the very beginning was good, I think. But you could transfer anyways before that, right? If you got a release.
Correct. Well, back in the day, you transferred, you were sitting out a year. Mm-hmm. If you transferred within your conference, you were sitting out for 2 years. And you just hit the key thing. If a release was granted, a lot of times there were conversations, we'll give you a release, but these are the schools you cannot go to. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a whole nother conversation, a whole nother pod.
It's free agency every year, though, now.
Yeah, there's no college and amateur sports as we knew it, in my estimation, do not exist anymore. The fact that we're – and it goes well beyond college golf. The fact – football players. Oh, yeah, my price is $2 million a year. What are we doing?
It's crazy. One more question for you, though.
Yes.
If a player – we're already starting to see signed announcements coming out for players who are transferring. If the portal just opened up a week ago, it's impressive.
Tampering.
It's impressive that, I mean, people call it the tamper portal for a reason, but it's impressive how, you know, athletes are able to do their due diligence, you know, talk to several teams and coaches and fill out necessary paperwork all in, you know, a few days time while playing regionals. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, I guess those are the athletes you want to get. They can multitask.
Let's take the high road here. Yeah, exactly. I could have gone five different ways and four of it wouldn't go well. We're going to go region by region. Our thoughts, apparently our predictions and selections provided bulletin board material for some schools across the country. I'm good with it. Yeah. I'm good with it. And when we were talking, I was at the PGA Works Collegiate Championship at Kohler. Really great 3 days there. Hats off to all the champs. But I go back to, I want to say, 04. I believe the women's were in Auburn. And Duke was one of the great teams of all time, period. And I was pretty steadfast. I was a little younger, maybe a little more brazen of, no one's going to beat them. They are playing for second. Well, UCLA beat them. It was stroke play back then. But I mean, it was tight. It was close. And I remember interviewing the gals from UCLA after, and wow, how'd you do it? And I think it was Gina Umek, a 3 or 4 player, good player for Kerry Forsyth then. And the response was, pretty much, we wanted to tell you to put it in your pipe and smoke it. We heard what you said. You pissed us off, and we got you. I'm all for it. I'm not here to motivate. I'm not here to inspire. We make educated, fun-loving predictions. And the truth is, Brentley, a good portion of the flyers we took came to fruition.
Yeah, Honestly, Justin Silverstein also picked Cal State Fullerton. He didn't pick them, but he told us to.
Keep
and
an
he
eye
didn't
on
listen.
Him. Correct.
And yeah. The 10 seed ended up getting through. That reminds me of, real quick, my favorite bulletin board story was the 2012 NCAA championship. You have Alabama versus Texas in the final. Obviously, JT and Spieth and all that. And Golf Week used to send an army there. So they had, I believe Labner was there when he was still with Golf Week. You had Lance Ringler, Ron Balicki, Asher Wildman might have still been there. But they had six or seven people, and they used to all do their picks. And they picked each matchup in the final. And it was Julio Vegas, who was playing super well for Texas, against Hunter Hamrick, who's now the caddy for Nick Dunlap out on the PGA Tour. And everyone picked Julio. And Lance wrote something like, if there's one certainty in this final, it's that Julio is going to beat Hunter. And Sewell saw it the night before, huddled them all up, and was like, boys, you know, we're going to try our best tomorrow. You know, it's going to be a great day, but I'm just going to let you know we're going to have to sit Hunter because he's got no shot. And just made a joke out of it. Hunter ended up, what, winning 6-5, something
six
like
and
that.
Five,
and
yeah.
And the whole day it wasn't, you know, go out and beat Texas. It was, you know, go and do it because Hunter's going to get beat. And so he ended up proving him wrong. But yeah, that's the – I always tell people when they complain about it, when I see that their feelings get hurt a little bit, I tell them, I go, one, normally I'm wrong, so that's a good thing. And two, if it motivates you guys to prove us wrong, then that's a good thing as well. So,
correct. And you mentioned the late, great Ron Balicki. You know, he – through the years would have Ron, I can't say it, he was
wrong,
because
Ron.
He would pick the national championship every year, and well, don't pick me because you're never right. So it's one of those you know, fun loving things. We enjoy it. We're just gonna rip through them as I'm navigating the website. So let's start in Norman. What do we have? 36 on Monday, and then they tried to get it done Tuesday, and it bled into Wednesday.
Correct.
Yeah, so okay. There were a lot. Lubbock went early, trying to beat weather. Stanford, no surprise, 23 under, win by 9 over Northwestern. We talked about it. I always get bullish on Emily Fletcher's team. I don't know if it is the team to make noise, but maybe. Michigan State. All three of those pretty comfortable, if you will. And the truth is there really wasn't a ton of stress. Oklahoma, we teetered on whether the home course advantage would be enough early. It didn't look like it would, but they got the job done. And then Baylor getting the last spot. Real quickly in our picks, did I have Baylor? Did you have
you did.
Baylor? I know I did.
Yep.
I know we went back and forth, and
I'm gonna pull it up right now.
I got a text from Jay Goble, their head coach. Well, you know, we're good friends with so many of these people, which makes it enjoyable. But he sent me a text when I was on the air at Whistling Straits. You know, everyone punches their ticket. You know, see in California, my friend, is to look forward to it. And then I wonder, I'm like, oh, was that the subtle jab that I didn't pick you?
Wait, you know what, Berko? You didn't pick Baylor.
That's why I got the text.
You picked North Carolina. You know who
That's
didn't
why I
pick
got
Baylor
this.
As well? Me. We picked yeah. the same teams in this one.
Well, we teetered. We were back and forth. We had seen moments of brilliance, and then we saw moments of we're not sure. So that was the subtle jab. I love it. Well-deserved. We know if it's a stroke play championship, Stanford will be very difficult to beat. I guess North Carolina is the surprise. Ranked 13th going in. They were right there until they weren't. Quick glance, second worst score of the 12 teams in the final round for North Carolina. That doesn't get it done. And I'd be remiss if I didn't quickly reference Duke.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Nowhere close. We didn't pick them, correct?
No, neither of us did. And it's they obviously finished 11th, 38 over. It's the second worst regional performance ever, but worst regional performance, you know, since we've gone to 4 and 6 regionals. Obviously, back in the day, you had 3 regionals with a million teams in it. I think they may have finished 18th one year. But I mean, other than that, this is, let's just say it's Riam Maliksi and Avery McCreary can't get there soon enough.
Yeah, a bit of a struggle relative to the legendary coaching of Dan Brooks, the national championships they have won. So it's, as a whole, kind of what we thought, not a ton of uncertainty with what we believed going in and what came out on the back end. We go from there to Charlottesville, Virginia. The five teams that get through: South Carolina, Ole Miss, Virginia, Florida, UCLA. UCLA was 7 clear in that fifth spot, although it got intriguing that last day. I take a quick look, 16 over, but they got out of the gates well, 3 under. Quick takeaways for me. Boy, South Carolina is getting more and more intriguing in a time of year where programs in the past, in Columbia, South Carolina, went the other way. If Luis Ridquist and that back is healthy with Ella Galitsky and Hannah Darling, they now go on my list of 5 or 6 teams that I believe can legitimately win it all in Carlsbad. The Rebels, well done. Virginia at home. Florida, the first couple of days, right near the top. For me, not a surprise to anyone that didn't get through. But, you know, credit to the Bruins. I thought they had an uphill climb considering losing Campos and Canales, and they found a way. And I honestly didn't think they were going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you touch on South Carolina. This is normally the tournament of the spring that kind of catches them up. A few years ago, if you remember, they had to get through a playoff. They just haven't played that well in the postseason, but they get their first NCAA regional title since 2017. To touch on the Gators real quick, I talked to their head coach, Emily Glazer, on Wednesday evening, and, you know, just asked her, you know, how does it feel? I mean, finally, they hadn't been to the national championship since 2019, and she said, to be honest, I feel relief. And, yeah, this is a young team. I think there's a lot to say about the fact that not many of those players have the scar tissue. It's not like we're talking about seniors that have tried and tried and tried again. But Paula Francisco, she's played unbelievable. She was runner-up. Caroline Tuttle, who last year was barely played. She was hurt. Didn't play in the fall, really. And then Emily told her, like, all right, you're healthy. Let's play some this winter and let's get back in a rhythm. She goes, she plays super well during the winter break and then comes out, and she's played every tournament for them since. So this is a team that could sneak up. They haven't been there in a while, but they're very well balanced. Paula's obviously, I mentioned, she's playing extremely well. There's a chance that they could get into that final day of stroke play and make things interesting. So keep an eye on the Gators.
Like that sound. We go from Charlottesville to Columbus, and this is where it got, yeah, well, why wouldn't I? This is where it gets intriguing. Kansas wins that regional, Arkansas second, Ohio State third, UNLV fourth, LSU fifth. The scores on day two were through the roof. I'm going to chalk it up to weather. Again, I was on the air in Wisconsin, so the uncertainty of not being on site. LSU was the team that got after me, open up in 4 under, shoot 21 over. There was a large portion of that final day that they weren't in the top 5 yet. Kent State hanging on to that spot. Houston made a charge, SMU. So, hey, you know what? Credit to the Bayou Bengals for finding a way to get through. I'm not sure I would have picked these 5 teams. I'm certain I wouldn't have, and I definitely wouldn't have. I'm sure I was nowhere close, but it's what we always share with people that listen to us. Expect the unexpected. It is going to happen. And how about the Kansas Jayhawks? I mean, the fact they are regional champs on, I could argue, the toughest of the 6 golf courses shows a lot about what the Jayhawks have done and what they might continue to do.
Yeah, I heard the second day was didn't get over like 51 degrees or something like that. Was just cold. it rained all day, and not the hard kind of rain, just that annoying, like moderate, just sticky rain. It was so that could explain why the scores are, you know, were a little bit higher. But, you know, talking to Garrett Runyon, and they may have been one of those teams that were motivated by a certain, you know, Golf Channel talent, not having confidence in them moving on. But they had their worst round of the season, 21 over. And you would expect, you know, a young team like that to be down, to be dejected. But talking with Garrett, he said, surprisingly, they were pretty loose, almost too loose the night before. And Anya Donegan, one of the veterans on that team, she was around a few years ago back in 22 at PGA National when they were 5 shots, I think it was, going into the final round. They had to rally on that final nine at PGA National just to get through. And she said, hey, if we can do it then, and we weren't playing well that day, then we can do it now. Like, we're playing a lot better. We just had a bad day. It was tough conditions. And they went out and did it. And talking about Kansas, you have 3 players on this team now who have won college tournaments this year. Lauren Clark's won 3. Lila Louderball went out and absolutely, you know, closed in a fury, ended up winning this regional going away individually. They're back for the first time at Nashville since 2014. This is a team, again, like I mentioned, the Gators potentially being a sleeper out of the Charlottesville regional. Like, keep an eye on Kansas. Like, Lindsey Cool has done a remarkable job, might be up for coach of the year. Should probably be a finalist for that. And they're tough. They can make some noise. They can play anywhere. I will say the one surprise on the other end of things, we both were high on Illinois, 9th place, 27 over, 9 shots back. So not a terrible performance. Things were pretty bunched outside of that top five, but certainly would have thought they would have done it, you know, done a little bit better job playing close to home in Big Ten country, in the elements, but sometimes it's not your week, and you know that's okay. They'll try again.
From Columbus to Kentucky, Florida State, they win there. Georgia Southern, surprising many, the runner-up in that regional site. Kansas State 3rd, USC 4th, Vanderbilt 5th, and Vandy only 1 clear of TCU, so it was certainly tight there in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Hats off, Florida State. They're one of those handful of teams I believe can win it all when you've got Lottie Woad, Mirabel Ting finishing tied for 2nd. And the supporting cast is now reliable. They're dependable. They're really, really good. I'll let you touch on Georgia Southern in just a minute. How about Kansas State? What Stu Burke has done, obviously, Carla Bernat has not slowed up, winning that regional after capturing the Augusta National Women's Amateur. USC, 9 under that last day. They kind of needed it because it was getting interesting, never quite out of that 5, but going in the wrong direction. But to me, the team of this regional, Vanderbilt, 13 over after day 1, near the bottom relative to everyone else. 11 under the next 2 days to get that final spot.
Yeah, and neither of us picked them to get through. And Greg Allen may have been another coach that wasn't super thrilled with us not picking
them.
Okay. But again, after the first day, we looked super smart, and then they made us eat crow. And, you know, they get through for, I think I wrote this down, for the 4th straight season. I mean, there's not many programs in the country that have done that. I think there's something like 9 who have gotten through 5 straight or more. So, I mean, the job that Greg Allen continues to do there, obviously he's been around, you know, the block. He was a longtime coach at Arizona when Lorena Ochoa was there, and now at Vanderbilt, still going strong. But yeah, there is a lot to this regional. I think there's a lot of storylines that kind of came out of this. You mentioned Carla Bernat played her way, likely with this performance, into that finalist territory of the Annika Award. She'll make the top 10 when that list is unveiled today, hopefully before this podcast goes live. I don't want to scoop that news, although unless we get this finished and I get it posted in 2 minutes, we should be okay. Florida State's really good. Kansas State, one of 3 first-timers into the NCAA championship this year. USC, Bailey Shoemaker might be back She led them top 10. Jasmine Koo got off to a really horrid start, but ended up riding the ship a little bit. Kathy Park, super consistent. So they'll be okay. I mean, they're super lean, but you know, that's going to be the challenge over this next week for Justin to get them peaking again. And then I want to close with Georgia Southern. On the top of the show, we mentioned, or you mentioned, a particular team that may have had some adversity getting on the private jet and, you know, flying up to Kentucky and knowing at that point that three of your players, and I think four now, four players entering the transfer portal, including Louise Rio, who's their best player. She's from France. She was actually ranked, I mean, how about this? She was ranked outside the top 600 when she was recruited and she got to school. She's now 108, something like that. She was as high as 75th. So you talk about a player who went to Statesboro, was developed in 2 years into being a top 100 amateur in the world, and something like seven top tens this year or something like that. Seven top sixes. And all of a sudden she thinks that she needs to go totally change her environment and go play for a bigger team. So I don't know the personal details or what went behind the decision, but you know, at a outsider's glance, it just seems like, you know, she's too big for Georgia Southern now, and is probably going to end up at an elite level top 10 program. And you know, it just stinks because, you know, this is a program now and its 10th year. Mimi Burke's been there for the last four, I believe, four or six, and she's done a great job. They're the best mid-major in the country. They just finished second at a regional. Hopefully they can keep this distraction on the back burner for at least a week and a half, and then everyone goes in their direction. But that's just a killer. I mean, could you imagine, like, being a coach and you're rewarding your players with a chartered flight, and you've had a great year. They've won like four straight stroke play events, something like that. This is the first time they've lost in over 2 months, and all of a sudden it just all comes crushing down because all your players want to leave.
And I don't want to spend too much time on it. So they get through. They are still in the portal, correct?
Yeah.
My gut reaction is give me the kids that want to come back in the fall. And I know you wouldn't.
The problem is they don't have anybody. they got like six players in the lineup. I do think the thing that needs to change real quick is the timing of this. Now, players can transfer whenever. You don't necessarily have to. I mean, you can tell your coach you want out without there being a window open. But the fact that the window for the women opened last Wednesday or last Thursday, the 30th, something like that, and right before regionals, I mean, the timing is just terrible. I mean, you can't.
Well,
wait,
don't we see
weeks.
That in March Madness too? Right, the basketball tournament's going on and people are going in the portal.
There is a transfer portal tournament now. I wanted to plug this real quick too. Lance Ringler just started one. It's going to be in Tennessee, I believe, in June or July this summer, and it's for all players who are in the portal and want to. It's like a showcase. So
showcase.
I guess taking advantage of a situation that isn't great, but you know, hopefully all these players find a great home and they want to stay there.
Credit to the job getting done there. Let's leave it there. I'm not a big fan
500,
of that.
500 something players. There might be 600 now this morning. You never know. Yeah.
Gold Canyon, Arizona, Oregon wins. Arizona State second. Oklahoma State third. Mississippi State fourth. Cal State Fullerton by a single shot over Auburn. That was where it got tight there on the back end, and that was a team in Auburn that I thought they were going to have some struggles, and they did. At the top, though, Oregon, one of those few, I believe, that can win it all. Arizona State, kind of what you expect. They just put their head down and play well. But, I mean, it's really Fullerton getting in and Auburn not That's probably the glaring result from this one.
Oh yeah, and it was a little. I mean, you were, I think you were about ready to go on air on Wednesday, but we thought we had a playoff here for like 3 or 4 minutes. I remember trying to get all my thoughts collected to do a hit on Golf Central, and all of a sudden it's like we're gonna have another playoff. Like this is gonna throw a wrench in things, and all of a sudden then the scores adjusted and Auburn was 24 over and Fullerton was 23 and we didn't have a playoff. And so I texted the hosts who were running the event and they said there was a scoring error. So Anna Davis, we thought she shot 72. She actually shot 73 and that ended up being, well, that didn't end up being the difference, but I guess in the moment kind of is, but you can find a shot, you know, anywhere amongst five players, but still, I mean, it's, you almost feel like the clutchness of Auburn has worn off a little bit. Remember all those years of them rallying on the final day to get into the NCAA championship, to get into match play at Nationals. Now the last two times, you know, going back to 2 years ago at Regionals where they fell from fifth to sixth and now finishing sixth again, they're going to have to get a little bit deeper. They got some young players on the back end. They're going to have to take advantage these next, probably next year, while Anna Davis is still in school. Cause talents like that, you don't have at the top of the lineup every day. And so they're going to have to figure out something. Fullerton, I mean, what else can you say about it? 10th seed. It's the, I believe they're the highest seed now to advance since we went to six regionals, a few years ago. Gosh, I mean, just a collection of players who are gritty. Davina San is, I think she jumped up to like 60th or something in the individual ranking. She birdied 4 or 6 holes on that last nine, paired with Anna Davis. The moment wasn't too big for her. Yeah, I mean, it's I mean the job that Catherine Hosh has done. She's a former Fullerton alum. I think this is her eighth year. And I always like those stories too. You have a player who played for a team, decide they want to be a coach. They end up coaching at that team. And, you know, you see it kind of all around the country, but you know, this is a cool moment for them to qualify for their first NCAA championship. So hats off to them. Probably the story of the regionals, just all things considered, getting that Cinderella there. And they're going to be the Cinderella next week too. They're ranked 74th in the country. That's 31 spots worse than the next team, Purdue. So chances are they're probably not going to do much, but again, if they play like this, like who knows?
You talk about Purdue. We go to Lubbock, the last regional to recap. They got going early to get ahead of weather. They finally got it done. Start at the top, Wake Forest, Texas, 1-2. No surprise. They were pretty much on cruise control. But this is then when it gets interesting. Iowa State finishes third. They shoot 16 under the last day. Tennessee, they shoot 7 under. A little breathing room. But Purdue, Texas A&M tied, go to a playoff. Boilermakers get it done. I'll let you touch on that in a moment. But the fact that you've got two top 20 teams in Texas A&M and Arizona not making it, probably from top to bottom, this is the one regional that has more surprises than any other.
I think you ended up – no, well, you had Arizona and A&M. You did pick Iowa State. Let's see what I had. I had Arizona and Texas A&M as well. We picked the same teams for – actually, no, I picked Tennessee. So,
yeah, you did have the Lady Balls.
I hit there. I didn't have Iowa State. That was our differentiator. Yeah, surprising. I mean, the first time that A&M doesn't get in under Garrett Chadwell now, I guess 3 or 4 years now. So that's kind of a stunner for that program. But, again, they lost the reigning NCAA individual champion in Adela Cernusek mid-year. You just had a feeling that there might not have been the firepower at the back end of that lineup. Iowa State, you touched on them, first time since 2014, just the second time ever in that program's history. And obviously they've been through, you know, a ton of, you know, tragedy and things like that over the last, gosh, 9-10 years. So this is really cool for that program to be able to do that. And, you know, going to the playoff now. This is why we love this tournament, and to just have five v five, send out the players, you know, on a hole. The wind was whipping. The temperature had dropped about 15 degrees. And how about this? They had a weather or a lightning delay with Vanessa Borovios, the freshman from A&M, standing over about a 2-3 footer. Some people said it was 4, but I think it was more like 2 feet. And basically a short putt to go into a playoff. And before she can hit it, the horn sounds. So, I mean, for an hour and a half, if you're Purdue, you're kind of like, all right, well, she's probably going to make it. Like, we got to get ready. And, you know, credit to Zach Bird. Like, he had his players go eat, get re-energized, and he huddled them. And basically the message was they have not had a good year. Like, they've been super up and down. Natasha Kiel, their best player, she won twice in the fall. She was runner-up another time, won early-ish in the spring. But then she's been outside the top 60 three times in the last 4 or 5 starts. She was subbed out at Big Tens after the first round. Purdue as a team, 8th at their home tournament, then 11th or tied for 11th at Big Ten. So trending the other way. They were 6 shots out, something like that, with a few holes to play, ended up rallying to force that playoff. So he basically said, like, we're playing with house money. Like, we've had a year filled with a ton of ups and downs, ton of headaches. We've had a lot of tough conversations. We have nothing to lose. Let's just go out there and play hard. And they did. And lo and behold, it's funny how these things always work out. It came down to Kiel. 200-something yards out, I think 225, hit what Zach Bird called the purest 3-iron he's ever seen to 12 feet. Just a huge breaker, 2.5 feet she played and dripped it right in for an eagle, and that was the difference, 2-under to even par. My one question to you is about the format of these playoffs. When you play 5-count-4 all year, should the playoff be 5-count-5? I mean, what if you, by some weird chance, I mean, we've seen it, you know, with a team like Wake Forest in the past, you only have 4 players. Are you just automatically disqualified because you can't field 5 scores?
Yeah. A lot of layers to it, and I don't have the specific answer. I go back to Carson Creek 2018. Mm-hmm. And I could be completely wrong on the teams. I feel like it was Arizona and Baylor
yeah,
playing for that A spot that Arizona ultimately got, and they won a national championship a few days later. And 5 different hole. There was too much disconnect in terms of who did what, how did it happen? And I'll be honest, part of the TV component. Okay, because if
it happened at Blessings real quick, too.
Yeah, it did. People that listen to us know college golf. Maybe we're getting some new subscribers, listeners.
You never know.
Possible. And I completely lost my train of thought of where we were going.
Talking
on
about
that.
About the disconnect of the five different holes.
Yeah, I know regionals and nationals are NCAA championships. Everything else the rest of the year technically has nothing to do with the NCAA in terms of them overseeing it, running it, guidelines, rules, etc. So you bring up the point, you do this all year long. But remember, people also said it when they switched to match play. Oh, God, why are we going to match play for the national championships? We don't play it. Short answer to a detailed question, it makes it easier. And now with the substitution rule, you're never going to get caught off guard, because I do believe, let's say somebody was truly limping in to post a score and they can't go in a playoff. That is the end of a round.
Yeah.
It is a new complete.
You can sub out.
Yeah. So you're never going to get caught there without a 5th score. I don't know the exact reason. I think all those elements came in play. Probably more than you bargained for when you asked me that.
I think there should be a drop of it. Yeah. I mean, I like the five-some. I mean, we had the great Kent State Florida State playoff back in 2012 at Riviera with with Koepka, Berger, Pendrith, Connors, and Hughes all in the same group. I mean, that's great. And you play it on the same hole, iconic hole. Everyone's gathered. I like that part. I would like to see a drop score. It wouldn't have made a difference in the final result, but I just look at a team like Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Now they shot a billion. They were never gonna. They weren't even sniffing a playoff. But they only had four players this whole regionals. So, yeah. I mean, let's just say you're just a program that, especially with these roster limits, you're a program that has a couple players injured, maybe a player leaves, enters the transfer portal, doesn't want to be there, and you got four players, and they're four really good players, and you get into a playoff, and then it's like, oh, well, it's going to be five count five. You don't have a fifth player. Like, can the coach play at that point?
Yeah, get to the guidelines, the rules, the regulations. It's intriguing to think about. I'm not sure. I'll have to put that on pause.
When do you get to La Costa? That's the big
question. When do I get to La Costa? Next Saturday. So as we wrap up this edition of College Golf Talk, the men get going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, regional scattered around the country. You're going to pop up to Tallahassee. I will get in next Saturday. The women start, I got to do my math, right, next Thursday. Mm-hmm. No, Friday.
Next Thursday? Thursday's the
Friday,
practice.
Correct. Yeah. Correct, yeah. Next Friday, I'll get there Saturday.
BYU's not playing, so we don't have to start Thursday.
So we don't have to, manage that. Our broadcast will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, as we always do. So I have a little pump the brakes, relaxed, breathe, get ready for the women. And then the two best weeks of college golf are just around the corner.
And you're the main guy this year, aren't you?
I am. I'm fortunate to.
Is this your first time ever doing that?
Play by play at the national championships, Division One. Yes.
There we
go. Fortunate to work alongside Bob Papa and the crew for so long. Said just slide one seat over, and it's such a great team, whether it's Juliet Johnson or Amelia Migliaccio that won national championships, Karen Stupples, Jimmy Gallagher Jr., Billy Ray Brown, John Cook. I mean, we're going to be fast and furious for a couple of weeks. But the good thing is we'll have a men's recap before we head out to La Costa.
And we'll see. The women at that point.
Correct. We keep it somewhere in the middle.
Do we do picks? Are you able to do picks or no?
I thought we did.
Herb
picks.
Street. Yeah. No. For nationals.
I've always.
Are you Herb Street?
I've always stayed away from it. Even when you and I do hits on the pregame show, yeah, I lend true. Thoughts. I give credence. This is what will happen. I mean, we all have fun. Let the coaches razz us. Use this bulletin board. Like, I'm all for it. But I truly believe it when you are on the broadcast. And if I said, hey, you know what? So-and-so is going to win today. The other team has no chance. Well, somebody invariably on that other team, a fan, well, how can he broadcast? He there's bias. He doesn't want us to win. So I will always share thoughts, details, et cetera. And then I'll let you knock it out of the park to say who's going to win.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Fair enough. We'll find a nice blend. Appreciate it as always for everyone listening to College Golf Talk. Have a great weekend. We will be back next week to wrap up the men's regionals.